Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Welcome to Season 5 of Constant Wonder Kids. We have so many fun episodes in store, and I can't wait to introduce you to amazing wonders from all over the world. To start off today's episode, can you tell what I'm humming? If you guessed the song Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, you're right. Even if you didn't guess exactly the right song, you could probably tell that I was humming some sort of melody. Understanding a human's hum might seem pretty easy, but what if you had to listen to another animal's humming, buzzing sounds? A honeybee, for example. Today's guests are a married couple, Martin and Deidre Benchick, and they know all about bees and bee sounds. Martin's first exposure to bees came when he was a young boy helping his father, a beekeeper.
I wasn't particularly attracted to the bees, and I got stung many times. But he drew me into it because I would have an income if I sold the honey that I was spinning. So I did the honey part of the beekeeping, the spinning of the honey, the putting it into jars, the selling it to customers. And then I had the income in my pocket. I didn't enjoy the beekeeping. I enjoyed the money in my pocket.
I'm sure Martin didn't think he would spend much time with bees beyond his childhood honey business. But after he grew up to become a scientist, Martin returned to his father's beehives with an interest in understanding bees buzzing.
I asked him, what's of interest to a beekeeper? And he said, you must try to sense the bees preparing for the swarming. He said, if you can do that, you've got a winner. So that was the target. That was the aim at the time.
Swarming is when bees decide that they need to find a new home. So they all move together, kind of like a cloud, to find a new space. It would be helpful for beekeepers to find ways to predict when the bees needed to move.
So there was this rumor thousands of years ago that before the swarming process, the sound that you can hear coming from a honey beehive is changing substantially. And then in the 1950s, there was a British engineer who claimed that he had a device to listen to bees and he could predict the swarming process, and there was no real proof for it. So, to be honest, we did not know what to expect. So no, there was no science, there was nothing we knew what to expect. We just did the measurement and tried it.
After a lot of recording and measuring using a device called an accelerometer, Martin was able to figure out some interesting information about bees swarming.
A colony will swarm several times in the spring, not once, but usually twice, three or four times. And the very first swarm, which is the one where you lose your old queen, that one is impossible to sense. It's got nothing associated with it that you could pick up. The other ones, the second, the third, the fourth, they come with an extraordinary queen signal, which is called piping. And I'm going to impersonate a queen bee for you piping now. So before the second, the third, or the fourth swarm, you will hear the queen piping, and she goes, and the accelerometer will pick that up with huge sensitivity because the queen is twice bigger than the other worker bees. And that vibration is gigantic. Sometimes you can even hear it by naked ear. And so, yes, the second, the third, the fourth swarms, they are easy to pick up because that signal will be heard several days before the swarm.
Not only will a single queen bee make an interesting noise, but other queen bees from nearby colonies often join in, making a fascinating duet.
So the queen piping is known for a long time because if you're lucky, you can hear it as a beekeeper. But the response between the queen pipings amongst themselves, so they duet, the queen bees in a honeybee colony, they duet with each other. So one launches the whoop, 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 and then another queen will reply by quacking. Quack, 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 quack. And it's a duet which takes place for several days. and the purpose of the duet is a mystery.
Huh, I didn't know that bees could quack. Okay, so now we know all about Martin and his interest in bees. But you might be wondering about our other guest, Deidre. What does she have to do with the story? While Deidre isn't a scientist like Martin, she's a musician and a teacher. Specifically, she plays the cello, and that's how this bee story gets a little bit unusual.
At that time, I was working in primary schools, and lots of little cellos, unfortunately, would have accidents, and a particular cello, which was a very small child instrument, was completely broken and ready to be thrown out. And so I said, I'll take that home. And I think that's when Martin said, let's put some bees in it then.
Wait, what? Put some bees in a cello?
Martin just said one day, let's put the bees into a cello, which was absolutely bonkers, of course. But why not give it a try? That's not a bad idea. I mean, bees would live in the hollow of a tree, naturally. So we thought we'd give it a try, and it worked.
So just like that, Martin and Deidre became the keepers of a very special beehive inside of a cello. Now, you might think that this cello beehive just sits as an interesting prop or decoration in their backyard. But would you believe me if I told you that Deidre actually still plays the cello with the bees inside of it?
It's not something I've ever done before. And so I like the challenge. The foundation of this is I'm actually highly allergic to bees. So when I say dangerous, I would actually suffer quite a lot. But this is relevant only to say that I trust what's going on. The bees have never attacked me as I play the cello. I have been stung by bees, but it was my own fault because I was mowing the lawn and I got too close and they didn't like the vibrations of the lawnmower to the beehives. I've learned from that very quickly.
But they didn't object to that of the cello.
No.
No.
So, I've played it with a beekeeping suit on for caution, but I've learnt that I can trust them. They are so busy doing what they need to do, it's really irrelevant that I'm standing there playing this beehive, which is the shape of a cello. So as crazy as it sounds, it's both exciting, challenging, rewarding, and innovative.
I'm sure you're curious, so here's an example of Deidre playing the beehive cello. As you listen, picture her playing with bees crawling and flying all around her and her instrument. It might sound risky to play a cello full of bees, and I wouldn't recommend it for any of you. But for Deidre and Martin, it's a combination of their favorite things. And as more people have heard about the cello beehive, there's definitely been an interest in what the Benchicks have been up to.
People are curious and interested. I think, you know, there's a lot of why, which is easily explained in just the word bonkers. But people have been so supportive of the idea because our purpose is really to highlight bees. And if it's a wacky idea that gives that a voice, then it wasn't our purpose, but it seems to be doing that, which is quite nice as a consequence. Our objective was to just give the bees another home, and it happens to be a cello.
And as far as I'm concerned, this particular work is giving us a huge satisfaction and it's exhibited to the public and we look after it year after year.
As they've taken care of their musical beehive, Martin and Deidre have found themselves thinking more about life from a bee's perspective.
I surprise myself waking up worrying about the weather. Not for me, for the bees. Because if it's sunny today, they're going to forage. If it's raining, they're not going to forage.
That is so true.
And I surprised myself thinking of how cold or how warm it's going to be because of the bees. How are they going to cope today?
Yeah.
And if I walk in the countryside and I discover a splendid field of flowers, I'm not thinking, wow, what beautiful flowers. I'm thinking, ooh, some nice resources for my bees. They should come here and forage here.
Before I met Martel, I didn't know anything about bees. And of course, bees invaded our garden, our home, our life, our weekends, and became more and more of a big thing. And I've learnt about bees, and in doing so, I've come to respect so highly their social structure. Every bee has a job to do in their society, and each bee will dedicate themselves to that task. There's no arrogance. There isn't any of that in bees, and their sole purpose is to maintain the health of the hive and the longevity of the hive. And it's so admirable when I got, at least, to understand how this all works. You think, well, we could all learn so much from the bee. We really could.
Learning from the bees living in their cello has brought a real sense of wonder into Martin and Deidre's lives.
I'm afraid to say I can't explain the satisfaction it gives you to put bees in a cello. You have to do it for yourself. It's quite challenging. It's not something you do quickly and easily. There's a lot of preparation involved, and there's a lot of effort to do with putting the bees in it, make sure they're happy in there. There is an unexplainable satisfaction in doing something that lasts with the bees, doing something that's never been done before, doing something that is, I find, beautiful. Not everybody finds it beautiful. We think it's beautiful. And watching them coming in and out gives you the evidence that they are satisfied. So you've given them a home that they like. You've produced something beautiful.
It's about the wonder. It literally is about the wonder of having bees in a cello. It is the absolute wonder that you've created this space and they like it. It makes us happy that they're happy. And so you're looking and you're observing, and it gives you such joy to see that it's working and they are happy there.
Now, I'm not recommending that you try to put a beehive in a cello. I think it's best we leave that to the Benchics. But I am recommending that you find ways to experience wonder in the natural world all around you. Ask questions about the plants and animals you see, and try to connect nature to the other things you love. Who knows, you might discover the next version of the cello beehive.
A quick word for you parents. This is Marcus Smith. I'm the host of Constant Wonder, the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff kids will love too. But you may be wanting more. We've got a whole episode devoted to Martin and Deidre Benchik and their musical bees. If you want to hear the full presentation, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcast. The episode you want to find is titled Bees with Good Vibes, A Tale of Two Hives. We actually think that you'll love more than just one episode of our podcast, which is an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. The kind of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we are confident you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman-Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.